Heavenly Father, we thank you that you stand over all things. You are the creator. There is none like you. And Father, in times of such change, we thank you, as we have sung, that you do not change, and that you are our rock and an ever-present help in time of trouble. And so we pray, Father, that we would know the security and the joy and the hope of being your children, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I like it that generally when we preach here, we have set passages, so we go systematically through books. That's good, because it means we have to take God's word as it comes. We can't pick bits and avoid the difficult bits and just have all the nice bits and so on. Next week's scheduled passage is one of those passages you'd avoid if you had a choice from 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to read that next week. It's not a particularly popular passage in our day and age. There's no point turning to it now, because we're not doing that. And this week, I wanted to give you a feel for the Corinthian church again. Some months ago, we went through the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 5 is such a passage that we need to find our feet again in 1 Corinthians before we dive into chapter 5. So that's what this Sunday morning was designed for. But that's not what we're going to do, obviously, because of what's happened this week. But at very least, having read those first nine verses of the book, the church in Corinth is as fully a Christian church as any other church ever, despite everything that's wrong with it, as we discover in the letter. It's as fully a Christian church as any other church ever. But it's marked by divisions, because the Christians in Corinth are all seeking different ways to be modern. Modern for them, at least in their century. They're all seeking different ways to be modern, or to be as impressive as possible to the people who look in, instead of realizing that they already have everything in Christ. Now, very useful as it would be to pursue that, please turn to Psalm 72. It's on page 586 if you're using a church Bible. And let me read Psalm 72 to you. Of Solomon. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious in there is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Well, that psalm is clearly about the greatest king of all. And we know that he is our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang, with Christ upon the throne. He is. And so in all our thanksgiving for Queen Elizabeth, and in all our prayers for King Charles, Christ sits on a higher throne. And it's important for us to remember that. You remember when King Uzziah died in Isaiah chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord Almighty. There's still a king. Whatever happens with our earthly authorities, there is still the great king. And that's true as we consider anybody in any kind of authority. We've had a new prime minister this week as well. Because all authority is derived and given by the God of heaven, by the King of heaven. So whichever sphere of life, in whichever sphere of life it is that we hold authority, that is always and only under the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we recognize that or not, because he is the great king of the universe. So if you happen to be somebody in authority, or if today you happen to be a king, we could do worse, and Charles could do worse, than to follow the example of this king in Psalm 72. Because this king in Psalm 72 is actually the kind of ruler that the whole world has always been longing for. Nobody minds authority when it's like this. Endow the king with your justice, where everything is kept in right and good order. Whether that's relationships, laws, whatever it is, everything is kept perfectly right. One of the ways of thinking about final judgment is to think about putting everything right, because so much is wrong. So when the king rules with justice, things are put right. Justice and righteousness. In the way that God orders life, blessings come, prosperity comes under this kind of rule. Because if you do everything right, lo and behold, the good creation that God made works. Because selfishness is to one side, and that sinful part of us, which means that things are wrong in relationships and the way we use all that God has given us, is gone. And so prosperity comes. May the mountains bring prosperity, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. Justice, prosperity, under this king, the poor and needy are defended. Naturally, as he puts everything right. We can all imagine this kind of world. And so it's very good, isn't it? You can imagine if you have some kind of ruler like this, you would like that rule to last. You don't want it to end. You want it to last. May he endure, verse 5, as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. Such a lasting, good, just rule is what we're all longing for in our leaders. We spend most of our time complaining that we don't get that, but we might do better working out ways of encouraging it in our leaders. And of course, when we do see a reflection of it in our leaders, we're very thankful. I think that's the overwhelming sentiment that's been around since Queen Elizabeth's death. That she's actually been a pretty good reflection of this kind of rule. That's what people have said. I mean, I would love them to connect her goodness and service and sacrifice. I'd love people to connect that with the King of the Universe's example more explicitly. But we know that her faith in Christ was strong, and so she undoubtedly would have said, I guess herself, that yes, anything good that I do is simply a reflection of the great King of heaven. And so when we do see leaders like this, we want to give thanks. We want to say thank you because it's this kind of leadership that we know is good and we long for more of it. But it also tells us precisely as we give thanks for Elizabeth, for the reflection of this good rule that she was, it also teaches us what to pray for Charles. This is what to pray for. This is what this prayer, this psalm is. It is a prayer for the king. But as we pray for Charles, we're not expecting him to be this king. We want him to reflect the true eternal king, because he himself recognizes daily that the authority that he holds has come to him from the King of Heaven. We can pray that for our new king. Now, don't hear me wrong. I mean, we're quite used to thinking of kings as patterns of the great king. David, we've spent time in 2 Samuel, Solomon himself. Maybe Solomon wrote this, maybe not. Maybe David wrote it for Solomon. Maybe Solomon wrote it for David as he was still his son. And we're used to the Old Testament kings being patterns, helping us to see the greatness of the true king. But we're beyond that now. The true king has come. The picture is clear. And so for good earthly kings, it's now simply a reflection of the king who is already on the throne of heaven. Well, this king is recognized and rules everywhere. Verse 8, may he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. He rules everywhere and he's recognized by everyone. The kings from Tarshish, that's sort of Spain way, Sheba, that's down south in Africa, they all bring tribute. May all kings bow down to him, and all nations serve him. All the royalty and world leaders who will gather at Westminster Abbey next week, all of them need to recognize the great king over us all. May all kings bow down to him. the Lord Jesus Christ. And then these wonderful verses in 12 to 14. Again, an aspect of leadership that we love. We know this is what we want in our leaders. He will deliver the needy who cry out. You call for help, and you are delivered. 111 has just come to mind about calling out for help. And anyway, didn't work. But here is a king and a leader that if somebody cries out, he will deliver. And he helps those who have no one to help. And he takes pity on the weak and the needy. There's no lording it over anybody by the great king. He will save the needy from death. He'll rescue, for precious is their blood in his sight. There's been a lot of talk about the sacrifice that the queen has made through her life, and that's true. Once you've heard some of the words that she had to say when she was 21 and when she became queen, and you think of how constrained her life appears to have been. The sacrifice that's required, and Charles himself recognizes that life will change for him. Well, here is the one who truly sacrifices, because we know how precious our blood is in the sight of the king. Now, if you're under any kind of leadership and you know that you are precious to the one who leads you, that's a wonderful thing, because you know you can cry out when you're in need. And we love rulers like that. But of course, the Lord Jesus fulfills that in ways beyond anything we could imagine. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. It's the gospel that the great King of heaven laid down his life as our king, because he knew that we were helpless. That's how precious we are to the King of heaven. And it'd be great for us to pray. Well, we give thanks, don't we? Because, I mean, I think people have understood that Queen Elizabeth took very seriously the people over whom she ruled. And we pray for Charles that he will be likewise, and for our politicians, the new Prime Minister, that they will seek out to help the poor and needy. I remember when we were praying for, Brexit, I remember now. And there was something else happening at the time as well, some major political thing. We ended up, and many times at the prayer meeting, we didn't quite know what the answers were, but we prayed that the poor would not be worse off because of what happened. And similarly, here is a king who saves the needy, even from death. Andy quoted John chapter 11, Jesus' words about him being the resurrection and the life. any sacrifice which an earthly monarch or ruler makes is only a poor reflection of the great sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for all of us. So we give thanks for Queen Elizabeth. We pray for King Charles, and this psalm helps us to know what to do about that. But in all that, we're recognizing a greater king, and we're praying that our new rulers, king and prime minister and others, will recognize him too. Because his rule does something that no other rule does. Verse 17. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him. And they will call him blessed. See, the rule of King Jesus will be effective for the whole world. No other rule will do that. No other rule will bring blessing to the whole world. No other rule will bring in the new creation, where we are told in Revelation 21, I am making all things new. Everything is being put right for eternity and forever. The king we all longed for. So in our national changes, which are very significant, it's all under the reign of Christ, and that ought to give us a stability. It ought to free us from worry. It ought to give us a certain hope. And in all our national changes, we must pray that our nation and ourselves in our own hearts truly recognize the great King, the Lord Jesus, crucified, risen, now reigning. That we would bow to him in our hearts, trusting in his death, seeking his wisdom, and following his example. You don't need to be a king or a queen to mean that following Jesus' example isn't a bad idea. It's for all of us to be like him. We'll all have little bits of life where we're in authority. Think about that. Even if you're young, there'll be little bits of your life where you're in charge, whatever it is. It might be a job that your parents have given you to do. You're in charge of doing that job. You hold the authority to do it. They've given it you to do. How will you be when you rule in that part of your life? Let's be like our great King and pray for all those in authority.